to nowhere. That's my topic today. Just to remind you where we're at in this series of Deuteronomy, because it's really so important to understand the format of the book of Deuteronomy. Oftentimes, the Old Testament seems like a lot of disconnected stories, and you kind of scratch your head and say, well, what's the point of all this? Well, Moses is preaching a very long sermon, as I said, I think, 2 weeks ago. If you read Deuteronomy, his sermon in there, from beginning to end, it takes about 5 hours to read it. And so the address, the sermon, is divided into three parts. And we're at the first part. And the sermon is a covenant renewal sermon. He's calling the people of Israel to renew their faith and their commitment to God as their king and their Lord, and they would be his vassals or servants. And so Moses' goal in preaching this is to get the people to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, once again. And in these treaties in the ancient world, the very first thing they do is they remind the people of what God has done for them up until this point. And so for the first 4 chapters, that's what that's devoted for. And so here we are in a section where Moses is talking about what God did and how Israel responded to God at Kadesh Barnea. Now clearly, of all the narrative stories in these first 4 chapters, this is the one that Moses thinks is the most important. Because if you add up the verses and you look at the different stories and the different events, Kadesh Barnea took only 2 weeks. Only 2 weeks of time. But Moses devotes 25% of that first narrative part of a sermon to Kadesh Barnea. So clearly, he thinks this is very important. And clearly, we should think it's very important as well. And so, with that in mind, my scripture lesson is going to be a little longer. It's 25% of this first section, but it's very important. And so let us begin at verse 19. And then we set out from Horeb and went through all the great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites. As the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and take possession as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you, and do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near me and said, let us send men out before us, that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities unto which we shall come. Things seem good to me. And I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe. And they turned and went into the hill country, and they came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the food of the land and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land the Lord our God is giving us. Yet you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt and gave us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to the heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. And I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son all the way that you went up until you came to this place. Yet, in spite of this word, you do not believe the Lord your God. Who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in the fire by night, and in the cloud by day, to show you by the way that you should go. And the Lord heard your words, and was angry, and he swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and he shall see it, and to him and to his children, and I give the land on which he has trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Even with me, the Lord was angry on your account and said, You also shall not go up there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter in, encouraging you, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And as for your little ones, whom you said would become prey, your children who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there, and to them I will give it, and they will possess it. But as for you, turn and journey into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. And then you answered me, oh, we've sinned against the Lord. We ourselves will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. And every one of you fastened his weapons of war and thought it easy to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up or fight, for I am not in your midst, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you would not listen. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the hill country. And the Amorites who lived in the hill country came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and beat you down in Seir as far as Horeb. And you returned and wept before the Lord. For the Lord did not listen to your voice or give ear to you. So you remained at Kadesh many days, the days that you remained there. Then we turned and journeyed in the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me. And for many days you traveled around Mount Seir. May God now add his blessing to this reading of his holy and infallible word. I told you it was a long scriptural reading, but it's really not that hard of a passage to understand. As I was reading that, you might have noticed that several times, that very prominent verses within that text, that Moses spoke of the way. The way. One of the keys of this passage. It actually is the key to understanding this passage. For example, in verse 22, we see that the reason why Israel wanted to send out scouts to spy out the land was so they would know the way which we must go. But isn't that a little silly? For who has been leading Israel along the way the whole time, from Egypt all the way to Kadesh Barnea? Well, Moses reminds us who's been leading them on the way. It's the Lord himself. Look again at verse 30 and 31 of our text. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight for you, just as he did in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you've seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. You know, all the songs that have come up to this point in the service, you may not have noticed this, but every one of those songs, from the very beginning, praise song, which speaks about blessed be the rock, all the way to the other ones, you know, the Savior leads me, all of those were hymns or songs which have allusions to that journey that Israel took from Egypt all the way to Kadesh Barnea. My friends, God leads us. Christ leads us along the way. He proves himself faithful again and again in showing us the way. That's the main message here. Because Moses is showing the people God is a faithful God. He promises something and he gives to you what he promised. And he promises you and I that he's going to lead us along the way. He's going to be there. He's our good shepherd. He won't abandon us. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to be with us. I love Psalm 78. One of my favorite psalms. And in this section I'm going to read from, he recounts God's faithfulness in leading Israel. Let me read that section of scripture to you. This is so important. He, that is God, struck down every firstborn in Egypt, the firstfruits of their strength in the tents of Ham. Then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety so that they were not afraid. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to this holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won. And he drove out the nations before them. He appointed them for a possession and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. Now, of course, that portion of Scripture covers a bigger time period than this little text in Deuteronomy. That's purposeful, because it reminds us that God has been faithful in leading us in the way. He is faithful right now to us, and he will be in the future. Do you believe that? That God has been faithful leading you up to this point. He's faithful right now leading you in the way. And he will be in the future. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage. Because as we read in that earlier, the Psalm 23, Jesus being the good shepherd, or the good shepherd, we know from John chapter 10, verse 11, that that good shepherd is in fact Jesus Christ himself. And didn't Jesus famously say in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Are you getting it? Do you understand it? Do you hear what Moses, David, and Jesus are saying? God is faithful. And that's the reason why you can commit yourself wholeheartedly to him as your Lord. You can become his servant. You can become his vassal, because he will never command you to do something that he won't give you the power to accomplish. He will never tell you to do something that will be harmful to you. It'll always be to your blessing. He is your good shepherd. And with that in mind, then we see in stark contrast how ugly our sin of rebellion is when we start trying to choose our own way. You see, this text also shows us, in contrast to God, that Israel at that time proved themselves faithless. Seeking out our own way always leads to sin. See, that's what they were doing when they were sending out the spies. They should have been trusting God. "God, you've been leading us all the way. We don't need to send out spies because you are our spy. You're our commander-in-chief. You will give us the right strategy to defeat these people." But they wanted to find their own way. Isn't that just like us? You know, God commands us to do something. Then our brain starts thinking, looks a little dangerous here. You know, maybe I better check it out myself I'm going to go to some other source of in the Bible. You know, the Bible says to do this, but I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to check out another source. I want to see if I really, this is the way I should go. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, which we read from last week, I didn't point this out at that time. Saved it for today. But in verse 15, what you see there before you in your Bibles is that God organized Israel as an army, right? He set before them commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, of fifties, of tens. He's organizing Israel like a military army, the army of heaven. You know, as a little boy, I loved singing, "I'm in the Lord's army." How many of you who are older like me remember singing that? Wasn't that a fun song? You know, what's so sad is so many churches today and camps and ministries, they won't teach children that song anymore because it's too militaristic. But you know, it's not telling us to be like crusaders to go out and kill a bunch of Muslims in the Holy Land. What that is saying that we are an army and we're fighting God's battles against the evil one. And the test in the martial theme is all through the Bible, old and new. I mean, doesn't Paul tell us to put on the armor of God and to take up the sword of the Spirit? Don't we see in Revelation 19 that when Christ comes down as his beautiful white charger, who's going to be following him? Because he's the commander-in-chief. It's us, the saints, in our white robes, riding on white horses. But he is. That's the whole point. He is the commander-in-chief. We're in the army. We're a bunch of privates. Maybe some of us are even non-coms. Maybe the best of us are second lieutenants. You know what they say about a second lieutenant in the army? You want to die, be a second lieutenant. You know, that's the, they have always had the highest casualty rates. But anyway, in the Lord's army, we don't die, all right? Even second lieutenants. Because God is a good commander-in-chief. That's the whole point here. He is a good commander-in-chief. He knows what he's doing. Israel did not need to send out spies. They did not need to send out spies. You see, the whole thing about sin is doubt, isn't it? I said this last week, but I want to reiterate it today. We sin because we doubt God. We see this so clearly in our text. I know I read a lot today, but I think it's worth looking at verse 26 and 28 again. Because it kind of gives us the heart of these people, what was going on. What does Moses say? "Yet you did not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us. The Lord hated us. He brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us." Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, "The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to the heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons, the Anakim there." Two things we see here. One, their doubt is they're doubting God's goodness, aren't they? God hates us. He's going to destroy us. He commands us to do something, but what God's commanding us to do is not good. And then secondly, they doubt God's power. "Oh, we've seen what's out there. Big cities with high walls, great armies, and they even had the son of the Anakim there. Giants. Giants. They're going to beat us." Our our natural reason. When I say natural reason, I'm saying our reason without the Word of God will always deceive us. Using natural reason, it would appear as though the people were too strong. And they were. As we're going to see a bit later on, when they say, oh, it's going to be an easy thing to go in there. Nuh-uh, it's not easy. They got it handed to them. But we shouldn't reason with our natural reason. True wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and it comes from God's Word. And true reason understands that even though the people may be strong, God is stronger. And Scripture-informed wisdom understands that God is good. God is good. Amen, that works. Do that one again. God is good all the time. That's right. God is good all the time. That's what the Bible teaches us. And that's what Israel doubted. And the sad effect of that was futility. That's what I want to look at next. Seeking our own way always leads to futility. The consequence of this rebellion was very harsh. The Lord heard your words, it says in verse 34, and was angry, and he swore, not one of the men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give your fathers. Seems harsh. I'm sure some people in Israel said, oh, that's not fair. That's the problem. It is fair. God is a perfect judge. And he always judges fairly. And we have a saying in English, the punishment fits the crime. And you can't find a better example of this. What was the crime? They didn't obey God. We aren't going to take the land. You know, I love the way it says it. It says, God says, go up and take the land. It's set before you. You know, we read in Psalm 23 that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And we say that all the time in Psalm 23. We love it. Oh, it's so great. But do we really believe it? Well, Israel didn't. He set the table. There were the Amorites on the plate. Set them there to be eaten and devoured by Israel. And, oh, we can't do it. We won't take it. You gave it to us, but we don't want the land. And God says, well, you don't want it? You don't want the land? Then you're not going to have it. God is a good God. He judges always fairly. But God's also a God who doesn't let our sin destroy his plans. Because there's something else in this text, and we're going to focus on that next week. But I want to make this you aware of this, that he does make three exceptions, doesn't he? He says Caleb is going to go into the land. He's going to take it. Joshua is going to take the land. And these little ones that you said the Amorites were going to devour and destroy, they're going to take the land. You see, God can always take a remnant and make a mighty army. We often hear people say, oh, the church is only one generation from disappearing. You know, we live in a discouraging time with great apostasy. We see it all over the world, and especially in the United States, people turning away in faith. And yet we need not be discouraged as God's people, because God can take two men and a bunch of little children, and 38 years later, turn them into a mighty army. Amen? So God is a faithful God. But what about this futility? Well, this generation, it continued to go in their own way. And God, you know, he gives us always new opportunities to obey. Even after they blew it, he gives them another commandment in verse 40. Did you notice that? He says, but as for you, turn and journey to the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, verse 40. Once again, what do the people do? They rebel. They don't obey God's command. You know, if they had just repented and obeyed, they would have been blessed. But no, they have a false repentance. They says, oh, we've sinned against you, Lord. We ourselves now will go up just as the Lord commanded us. And notice what they said. We ourselves would go up. They're still not trusting in the Lord. They're believing in themselves. Do you see the irony in this? The first time the Lord commanded them to do something, they said, no, we're too weak. The Amorites are too strong. And now they're saying, oh, the Amorites are a pushover. Earlier I told you, and I warned you, our natural reasoning can get us in trouble. It can't be trusted. Have we all heard the old saying, the quickest way to get someone to do something is to tell them they can't do it? I hear a few laughs. It is kind of funny, but it's even more tragic, because it really does point, doesn't it, to that power of sin that's within us, the deceptive power of sin. It clouds our thinking, and it leads us astray. And as a result of Israel's presumptuous rebellion once again, they were utterly and completely defeated by the Amorites. And after weeping many days in Kadesh Barnea, the people finally obeyed. They left. And I want to look at that last verse we read, chapter 2, verse 1. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me. And for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. Speaking about an understatement. Many days. You know how many days they spent around there? 365 times 38. 38 years. They spent going around in circles around Mount Seir. Do you understand what this text is saying to us? When we choose to go our way rather than God's way, we end up going in circles. It's a road to nowhere. Maybe you're feeling that way. Maybe you're feeling your life without direction. You're just going around in circles. I want to challenge you. Could it be because you're not listening to your commander-in-chief and you're going your own way? If that's the case, stop it. Repent and start following your commander, because God is our good shepherd. He will lead us along the way. And see, that's the most important lesson of this text, that God indeed is the good shepherd who faithfully leads us. God does not abandon his promises. He's going to fulfill that promise that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Caleb and Joshua and those little ones. It's a great story. Such a great story. I'm going to devote a whole sermon to it next week. But for now, let's make sure that we are not on the road to nowhere, but rather that we're going somewhere where the Lord commands us to go, by trusting and obeying. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, in a few moments we will be singing that old Fanny Crosby hymn, Trust and Obey. And perhaps it's become trite to us and overused, but today, by the power of your Holy Spirit and from what we've heard through that word, your word, may they understand that message of that hymn is absolutely true. that unless we trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. To go our way leads only to going in circles, to death. To go your way leads to happiness and blessing and victory. Oh Lord, give us the grace to be Joshua and Caleb and those little ones who grew up to be people who trusted their commander-in-chief. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand up.